Now we're going to look at the first reading, which is from the Book of Chronicles, chapter 15, some selected verses, as you'll notice, and then chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now the theme of all of these, you see, is the notion of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Well, this is already adumbrated. If you remember, Elizabeth said when Mary came into her house, "And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is reflecting and is paraphrasing something that David said, "Who am I that the Ark of my Lord should come to me?" And she just substitutes "mother of my Lord." So Our Lady is the Ark of the Covenant, you see? You see how what we're trying to do is understand something that is so far beyond us. You know, not only Mary, but you see, as the Pope says, Pius XII, who defined this in 1950, and we'll take a look at that in a moment. I have to find it for you, but I'll find it when we get there. Our text, which is 1 Chronicles, as I say, 15, with a 3 to 4, 15 to 16, and then 16, 1 to 2, taking snippets from the text, okay? So the text begins then, "David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring the Ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. David gathered together the descendants of Aaron and the Levites," and then in a section of the text which is skipped for the liturgy, it says the sons of Kohath, the sons of Merom, the sons of Gershom, and so forth. All those tribes that are belong to Aaron and the Levites, okay? And so now the Ark is coming into its whole resting place in the temple. And the most precious thing about the Ark is the Word of God that it contains. And so you can see how apt it is as an image for Mary, who is bearing physically in her body the Word of God, the Torah, living, the whole very Word of God Himself. And that's why the liturgy takes this text. I guess because we'd be bored if we had to listen to all those names. And then gathers them together. And then finally, after listing all of that, the reading returns to the text in verse 16. "And the Levites carried the Ark of God on their shoulders with the poles, as Moses had commanded according to the Word of God. David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their kindred as the singers, to play on musical instruments, harps and lyres and cymbals, and to raise loud sounds of joy." The Torah, the Word, the guidance, the gift of God is coming to Jerusalem to abide in a tent of meeting until Solomon builds the temple. But there is the Word of God in our midst. What's the difference then between then and now? The Word of God now has spoken for Himself. The Word of God gives us the Word of God Himself. And then not only that, but He takes upon Himself, you see, all the sinfulness of man and transforms it into an act of love. And that is then the dwelling place of God. There are tabernacles. We have one in this house, shaped like an ark, the Ark. And on the front it says, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. Because inside is the physical presence of God made man having died and risen from the dead, and there, this is my body, this is my blood, there. And so we have the tabernacle look like an ark. Here is the ark. But, you see, when Elizabeth calls out, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Everybody who knows this story knows that that's a paraphrase of David. "Who am I that the ark of my Lord should come to me?" Not just the ark now, but the mother of my Lord should come to me. So Mary is the ark now, and in her body she's carrying the Torah. She's carrying the Word of God. And so this is why, you to give us an idea of her dignity as we celebrate this Assumption, this is a physical carrying of the Word of God. It's not just a memory or a devotion. This is the physical. In her womb, she is carrying the Word of God so that she is the new Ark of the Covenant, you see? And she cherishes that Word. She loves that Word. In her, she worships that Word. You know, sometimes you can ask Our Lady, perhaps, if she could help you understand what the praise of God is. And she may just come to you, not even in a vision, but in a present, and say, "Just do what I do." And she'll turn and she'll prostrate herself totally on the ground and worship. That's worship. That's worship. So here she is now, you see. This ark, which bore the Torah, the living Word of God, second person of the Trinity, there's no way it's going to see corruption. And that's the Feast of the Assumption, to honor the physical dwelling of the Word among us in the body of Mary, and to continue in her heart, in her emotions, in her spirit, you see, dwelling there. And so she is forever the Ark of the Covenant. And therefore, it's altogether fitting that her body not see corruption, because it has housed the body of the very Word of God Himself. And that's why, and when we look at the feast, this is the vigil we're doing now, when we look at the feast, I'm going to cite for you some of the words. I might even do a few today just to show you some of the words of actual text of proclaiming the Assumption. It was in 1950, I think, that it was declared as a dogma of faith that Mary was assumed because she is the Ark of the Covenant. That body should never rot. And it didn't. Now, we're not quite so fortunate, but we're not that far from that, according to St. Irenaeus, right? I've quoted this before. It is impossible, Irenaeus says, I'm paraphrasing a bit, that any body into which has come the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, it's impossible that that body stay corrupt forever. It's impossible. We will all rise. We will all be assumed. Not like Mary, right from this life to the next. We go through the process of dying and being in the grave and corrupting, but that's not the last word on us. Because, like Mary, we have borne the very Word of God in our bodies physically. And that's the incredible privilege we have of going to the Eucharist. Oh, if anybody's listening to this, never miss Mass. You've no idea what you're missing out on. Go. Oh, the sermon might be lousy. Well, we do what we can, we priests. You know, we're not always all, you know, John Chrysostom. But that we are John Chrysostom in this sense, that when we say, "This is my body, this is my blood," that bread becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, and that wine becomes his blood. That's for sure. And that word is living and active. And that word makes that bread and wine living, active, the living Torah, the living Word of God, joined inextricably to this body and soul, comes into our body and gives us an eternal physical existence. And that's the, see, this is why we have this vigil, which concentrates so much on Our Lady, because she bore the Word of God in her womb. And then, after our Lord's Passion, he received her again in her body through the Eucharist. And so, now just a few words about the psalm that follows that reading. Psalm 132. It stretches from verses 6 to 14, but leaving out some verses. You have a missal or the Magnificat or something, you can see the verses. But anyway, this is maybe I should, because we don't have a lot of it in the text here, I should read the psalm for you maybe. It's, as I just mentioned, it's Psalm 132, which is about, whoops, I'm not even in the Psalms anymore. You see, the order of the Psalms in the Hebrew Bible is not the same as the order of the Psalms in the translations. So it gets us mixed up sometimes. But this is a psalm about the ark coming. Oh, remember, Lord, David, in all his anxious cares, one translation, how he swore to the Lord, vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, I will not enter the house I live in, nor lie on the couch where I sleep. I will give my eyes no sleep, my eyelids no rest, until I find a resting place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. And then the text goes on. Now we've heard of this. Again, they skip verses. In Ephrathah, we founded it in the fields of Yahar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, the temple, that glorious big temple. It's his footstool. But he dwelled there. And you see, this is the... So Our Lady, very often, is called the temple. Physically, the Word of God dwelt in her and sanctified her body and soul, though she was immaculately conceived. And so, let the priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your faithful shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. In other words, always let him look on you. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will reside. I have desired it. Now that promise has never been totally revoked. There's a more to the future of Jerusalem still to happen. But anyway, we'll stop for there.